You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I was a little worried that my favorite spy and art restorer, Gabriel Alon, wouldn't be back fast enough for me. But thank goodness he apparently was no longer going to be dealing with Israeli intelligence. He was going to be like a real person walking his kids to school in Venice. But I knew that with author Daniel Silver, he couldn't just bop around Venice. It wasn't going to work. So in this new book, Portrait of an Unknown Woman, Gabriel does something different. I mean, this book takes us into another world. We're not dealing necessarily with Chinese spies, the Middle East that much. We're dealing with another very dark world, the world of art. And I know you love music. Everyone who reads you knows that. But I didn't know that you were obsessed with art, too. Is that new or what?
No. I mean, art has played a big, big role in the Gabriel Alon series from the beginning. I mean, he truly is one of the world's finest art restorers. And a number of the books have started in the art world and then branched into
the rest.
Off into counterterrorism or, Gabriel's duels with Russian intelligence or even the Iran nuclear program. That's a book called The Rembrandt Affair. The story had its origins in the art world. But this book is something that I've wanted to do for a very, very long time. It begins in the art world, and for the most part, it stays in the art world. When we say that art world, we're talking about the dirty end of the art
right.
world.
As you
said in your introduction, Gabriel has retired from the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. He was the director general of the office, as I call it. As forecast a couple of books ago, he and his family settle in Venice. Gabriel resumes his career as an art restorer. He works for his wife, actually, who is the director or the general manager of the largest, most important restoration company in Venice. And in short order, Gabriel is drawn into a search for quite probably the greatest art forger who ever lived. And the twist of the story is that in order to find the greatest art forger who ever lived, Gabriel has to become the greatest art forger who ever lived. And it is a fast-paced, entertaining, at times uproariously funny journey through the dirty side of the art world. It's sort of a cross between the Thomas Crown Affair and the Showtime program Billions. And it deals with a question that a lot of people in the art world don't like to talk about. And that is exactly how many of those beautiful paintings that you see hanging in art galleries or hanging on the walls of museums, how many of those paintings are actually fakes and forgeries or paintings that have been misattributed over the centuries?
And I'm interested in hearing the reaction of the art community when the word about this book started circulating.
Well, I got the wonderful reaction from my expert readers who I turned to for help. I did get a suggestion that maybe I should keep a low profile if I go to the European Fine Arts Fair next year.
Exactly.
Because the book, I didn't name a figure in the book, but it does suggest that there are a lot of that forgery is a major problem in the art world, and that there are gobs and gobs of forgeries coursing through the bloodstream of the commercial art world, and that there are a lot of dirty art dealers out there who are more than willing to sell these things. And that is, unfortunately, that is indeed the case.
Right. And the art market in this town has been booming. And it's, you know, you often hear people say, forget the market. I'm going into the art market.
And yes, so, you do.
Right?
And that is it's something that ground that I cover in this novel. I mean, look, the art market exploded in the 1980s, as you remember. And back then, there were very, you know, super wealthy people who were buying up art and locking it away in bank vaults and things like that. But that has really accelerated to the point where now art, unfortunately, and I mean that, unfortunately, has become just another asset class, just another investment vehicle for a lot of people. And people are investing in art purely for speculative reasons. And look, in the Geneva Freeport, which I've used in a couple of books, there are an estimated 1 million paintings locked away in vaults inside the Geneva Freeport. 1 million paintings, perhaps 10,000 Picassos, just sitting in darkened rooms in crates. And if they're held by very rich people, they trade hands secretly. Many of them will never ever be seen again. Many of them will never even hang on the walls of a beautiful home. They're just locked away like gold bars. I'm not naive. Money has made the art world go round from the beginning. If it wasn't for the financial support of the Medicis, for example, there wouldn't have been a Renaissance. If it wasn't for the financial support of the church, you know, masterpiece after masterpiece would not have been painted. But there really is, I think, something wrong with just investing in art for purely speculative and financial reasons. It just rubs me the wrong way.
I'm talking to Daniel Silva, the award-winning New York Times bestselling author. I think this is the 25th novel. I could be wrong.
It is the 25th novel. It is. Milestone year for me.
You know, when you think back of how you started, it's really fascinating the twists and turns your career has taken, sort of like Gabriel.
You know, I think that most people who have, in effect, two careers consider themselves lucky. And I definitely had two careers. The first half of my career, I was a journalist. And then in my mid-30s, I was able to focus all my time writing novels, which was what I always wanted to do. So yeah, I'm a bit like Gabriel in that I definitely have two sides to my character. Fortunately, I am married to a journalist, so I didn't leave the news business completely behind. Most of my friends in Washington are journalists, but I did move on to a second career in my mid-30s and never look back, and I'm amazed that I was able to make a go of it, and that I've published 25 books. I never thought I would write that many books.
Right. And book number one, your first book, became a bestseller. What most of us would talk about is how did you know this stuff? I mean, I know you do extensive research, but as the world was falling apart, you were like a jump ahead. And how? You knew what was going on in Russia, in China. You knew the biggest crooks and spies before they even knew they were.
I guess you know, I'm writing about an intelligence officer, and I sort of approached my work as though I were an intelligence officer. The worst thing that you can do in the spy business is to be taken by surprise. You always have to look over the horizon. What's coming? What's the world going to be like 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? How do we plan? And that's how I went about my books. You know, I have to start a book, in effect, you know, a year before it's published. So it has to be timely. It has to be of the moment. The worst thing a thriller can be is out of date. And so it forced me to think ahead and to try to imagine, well, what is the world going to be like when I publish this novel? Our times are, you know, move at the speed of light. The news cycle changes. Events are just coming at us. Like, you know, I mean, try to imagine what happened in the 20 years that Gabriel Lawn, 22 years that Gabriel Lawn has been a character. 9/11, the financial crisis, the rise of Putin, the rise of ISIS, the rise of the far right in Europe, and I would argue here in America. You know, things of a global pandemic. I mean, monumental events. And, you know, for better or worse, the Gabriel Lawn tour book has sort of served as I have chronicled those events for the last 20 years through my fiction.
Right. But the thing is, you're describing these events, and most of us had no clue and were shocked as event after event happened. But you knew, or you seemed to know, and you took us there with him.
I had a sense that things were going in this direction. I had a sense. I planned accordingly and wrote accordingly. I was the first person to write Vladimir Putin and Putinism as not an ally of the West or potential ally of the West, but it was clear to me what was really going on with Vladimir Putin and what he intended, and that should be clear to everyone now that he has invaded Ukraine and killed innocent civilians and bombed shopping centers and apartment buildings. It's just he's engaged in an act that make him among the most barbarous, awful people in history.
So now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to Gabriel now that he's an? He always was a painter and a restorer, but so serious about it.
Yeah.
Where are we going to follow him now?
Well, I had always planned with Gabriel, this is the 22nd book, that this is where the story would end. Okay, after he finished his term as Director General of Israeli Intelligence, I wanted to put him back in an artistic context. Will he be drawn into operations and international intrigue, for lack of a better term, geopolitics in the future? Almost certainly. But this book really is a series reset in a way. And if you look at it carefully, I retouched Gabriel a little bit. It's a bit of a departure, but it's also a series reboot. And this is where how the Alon series will progress.
Yeah, well, that's what we're hoping. Please don't retire him.
No, not yet.
We're not ready for him to leave us yet.
Neither am I. I am looking forward to him. To the series going forward. I have a number of books that I'd like to get to. This is something that I've been wanting to write for about 5 years. I couldn't write it because of of the kind of work that Gabriel was doing at the time. I loved writing this book. I love the reaction that I've gotten thus far to it. I laughed throughout the writing process. It was so much fun to write, and I hope that comes through and people read it.
It does. I love this book, Danielle Silva, Portrait of an Unknown Woman. And don't worry, everything is going to be all right. But there's going to be a lot more excitement. And I'm still waiting for the television series.
To quote one of my favorite lines from the series Seinfeld, wheels are in motion, things are happening. And hopefully by the time we talk next year, there'll be some more news on that front.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Danielle. All the best to you. You provided us with a great read, a whole new twist, and a new look at one of our favorite characters.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
We'll talk soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.